Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How's everybody this morning? I can't not seem to get enough water this morning. So if I have to leave for a short moment, I'll be right back, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Is God good? God is good, amen. Hallelujah. All the time. He's always been good, amen. Always been good. Hallelujah. Even those times where we feel like we're having problems, know this, that God is always good. He knows where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life. And He just says, hey, reach out to me. Reach out to me and I'll take you by the hand. I'll lead you into a place of perfect peace. Amen. Hallelujah. That's our God. Hallelujah. He cares about us. Amen. Hallelujah. And then when you go into that place of perfect peace and joy, you become strong. You pick up a strength that you hadn't had before. Is that okay? God begins to speak into your heart His word and to strengthen your spirit. And then your spirit begins to speak that to your soul. Amen? And your soul begins to say, knock it off. Your spirit says, knock it off to your soul. And your soul says, okay. Talks to your body, says, knock it off. Amen? Hallelujah. Quit doing that. And you watch what God does. Folks, it's all about Him. Amen. It's so much about Him. And when you find Him in His you find yourself in His presence, He begins to speak to you. Strengthens you, holds you. Oh, man. You'll find that everything that He said to you, every promise that He's told you, it's really true. It will strengthen your faith. It will strengthen your commitment really well. Just one word from Him into your spirit. You can go miles. Amen. How you guys like water? Amen. Water's good for us. Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Sermon title today is Waters of Recognition. Waters of Recognition. If you're taking notes, write these down because there's some things that I believe God is saying to us this morning. We're going to hear some things. I mean, how many of you want to hear some things? I love coming to church and I like taking notes. I think it's important that you take notes because you will have a hard time recollecting some of these things. I like that word, recollecting. Amen? That's a good word. That's a good Texas word. Isn't that right, Pamela? Yeah. I recollect. You ought to be taking some notes. Or I don't know. I don't even know if I'm using it right. But take some notes, folks. Write things down. When you hear good things, write them down. Amen? In a world that's so backwards, we need to be kind of allowing ourselves to focus on the things that are good. On good things. Amen? Pure things. Hallelujah. How do you like pure water? Yeah. I'd like to drink water. If I go to the restroom, I'll be right back. And you're thirsty. And I go, I have a little eyedropper. And I come out. I say, hey, took this out of the toilet. Put one drop in there and mix it up. Would you want it? No. Would you want it? No. We like stuff pure, right? Isn't that right? We like stuff clean. Is that right? We like stuff. And you know what? Any amount of dilution of anything but what God is saying to you can be, listen, it can be something that is hindering you. Is that okay? If I tell you that, any kind of a dilution. So go after the good stuff. Go after the pure stuff. Yeah. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things, amen? Get out of the dilution and go for the purity. Is that right? Pure waters. Hallelujah. I'm going to put this down because I think my body heat is going into it, and I like cold water. Hallelujah. Waters of recognition. I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning. I just want to give you kind of a what I'm talking about is you know, the heavens declare the kingdom, the glory of God. Is that right? The heavens declare the glory of God. God's creation actually declares God's glory. You can see it in trees. You can see it in the night. Did anybody see the full moon last night? How, you know, just all the things declare the glory of God. And do you know that the whole creation reacts with God, responds to God? Do you know that? Case in point is Moses walking up to the Red Sea. He's got his staff in his hand. He's the man of God of the hour. Is that right? Walks up to the Red Sea, puts that thing down. And that Red Sea responds, recognizes the man of God and the staff of God, breaks open. Winds blow all night, and they walk through that thing on dry land. Is that right? Through a seabed that 24 hours earlier had been dry. I mean, just as soaking wet as could be. Creation responding to God's word. Have Moses up at the rock, and this is in Horeb. And the Lord tells him, you know, the people are complaining, "Hey, we need water, man. Can you give us some water?" And the Lord says, "Speak to that rock." So Moses goes over to this rock, and he tells him to strike the rock with his staff. So he hits this rock, and out of this rock pours water. Water out of a rock. Try that out there. Go find a nice boulder and say, "Hey, man, let's get some water out of this thing." Yeah, pretty tough. Out of this rock flows this water. Creation responding to God. Water flowing. How many of you know that rock was Christ? Second time was in Kadesh. They go over, complain about water again. How many of you know people? God's people can be complainers? Is that right? Come on, man. Not this bunch, huh? No, we don't complain at all. No way. They're in Kadesh Barnea, and they're complaining about water. "Did you bring us out here to make us die of thirst, Moses?" So the Lord tells Moses, he goes, "Hey, man, go this time and speak to that rock." And Moses goes over, and I think he's a little bit upset with the people. You know that can happen? Do you know that? And he goes over, and he goes, "How long are you going to make me do this?" Grabs his stick and hits that rock, and God wasn't happy with it. How many of you know that? God had told him very specifically to speak to that rock. Speak to it. There's something about speaking, folks, that God is trying to tell us about the way we handle our words. Do you know that? Hit that rock, and boom, water come out, started watering the folks. God is faithful. Even when we do it wrong, is that right? Come on, man. That's right. He is faithful. Elijah the Tishbite, you remember him? He's got a young man named Elisha walking around. He's kind of a servant. And as they're walking around, Elisha knows that the Lord is getting ready to remove Elijah from the earth. How many of you know that? So they're walking around, and Elijah's trying to get rid of him, kind of say, "Man, you know what? You can stay here." And he said, "No, I ain't staying here. I'm going with you." How many of you know that? I mean, hey, hang on to men of God, man. Hang on to people of God around your life. Is that okay? Hallelujah. You're going to see things for men and women, through men and women that love God with all their heart and all their soul. You're going to find some things happening. And so he says, "I'm going with you, man." Another place he stops, he says, "Hey," and then some of the sons of the prophets tell Elisha, "Hey, the Lord's going to take your master today." And he says, "Shh, I know. Knock it off." Elijah tells him, "Hey, stay here. I'm going to go on over." He says, "Now I'm going with you. So Elijah finally figures out he can't get rid of him. And then he tells him, "Hey, ask what you want, and I'll talk to the Lord about it. Is that okay?" And Elisha says, "You know what? I would like a double portion of that spirit that's on you, bro." He He says, you have asked a hard thing, is what he told them. He says, nevertheless, if you see me when I'm gone, if you see me when the Lord takes me, you'll get what you wanted. I love that. How many know watching is an important part in our lives? Watching to see what's going on. Watching to see what God's doing. Watching. Watching. Watching is another word of prayer. Watching. Talking to God. Listening. Watching. Here Elisha's watching him. And they end up at the Jordan River. Elisha, I love it, takes his jacket off, or his, does anybody know? His cloak. Pulls it off. Doesn't say anything to the Jordan River. Do you remember that? Doesn't say a word to it. Pulls his cloak off. Smacks the water. And that water responds to the man of God. Bam! It opens up. And him and Elisha walk through the Jordan. I love it, man. You see, the whole creation responds to men and women of God. Do you realize that? It's crazy. It really does. So they're over there, and here comes the chariot. Man, a wind going on, and I don't know, maybe it was a tornado. Splits these two guys, but Elisha hits the ground, gets up, but he's got his eye on Elijah. Is that right? He's got a promise. He's run, that Elijah gave him. Elisha's looking for him. Oh, there he is right there. And this chariot comes down, picks him up, takes him out of here. Gone. I love it. Elisha sees that. And I'm going to tell you something. When you see something like that, it can be very humbling. However, God says that Elijah grabbed his clothes and he tore his clothes and he humbled himself there and he said, Lord. Gets up, picks up Elijah's mantle, is what it's called, or his tunic, or his, picks it up, walks over to the Jordan River. He's got to cross the river. He's going back. He says, where is the God of Elijah? And he hits that river, and that thing, the water recognizes, responds, and he walks through. I love it. Elijah is now the man of God. Amen? There were some prophets that were watching from afar. And they told him, hey, you know what we want to do? We need to send some folks out to go on the mountains and look for Elijah just in case he fell out of the chariot. What do you think about that? I don't know. Elijah says, no, you don't need to go. He says, no, man, we need to. And they pressed him. Do you know people will press folks? They will press and press and press, even when folks know it's not, hey, it's okay, it's all right, it'll be, and they'll press and press and press, and they go, okay, go do it, just go do it, all right? And that's what Elisha did. That's what he did, just go check, go on. So they went 2 days out there, and they looked for Elijah on the mountains, come back, and Elijah says, I told you, man, time wasted, money wasted, you got, no, whatever, man, he probably didn't say all that stuff, but there was a pressing that these guys did, and Elijah said, I told you, it's fruitless to go out there. God took him. I watched it happen. So now he is now the man of God and walking around, and he's performing some miracles, and comes up to, he's in his hometown, and if you open your Bibles to it's going to be 2 Kings chapter 3. Hallelujah. Second Kings chapter 3. Going to look a little bit just how recognition works. Oh man. 2 Kings chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for Lord, what you're saying to the house this morning. Father, I just sense, Lord, that you are going to take these things and deliver them to your children, to your people. And Lord, it's going to be something that's going to, they're going to eat on for weeks. that you're going to use this, Father, to speak to them, speak to their hearts, and cause them to realize, Father God, to recognize what it is you've done for us, Father. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. And in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 3, it says, now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother. For he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not from them. Jehoram was Ahab's son. I don't think you remember Ahab. Ahab was one of the kings of Israel. And Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Jehoram's dad was Ahab. Ahab was kind of a guy that was not very good for a king. And if you remember, Ahab wanted a vineyard of a man that had his garden next to his house. And Ahab went and talked to him. He says, hey man, sell me your vineyard. Or give me your vineyard, either one. Just give it to me or sell it to me, and whatever you want for it, I'll give it to you. I'm the king. I can give it to you. Naboth said, no, I can't do that. This is an inheritance passed down from generation to generation to generation from my fathers. I can't do that. So Ahab went home, and he was so upset. Everybody go, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. That's what he went home, and he laid down on his bed, and the Bible says that he turned his face to the wall. And his wife looks at him. Does anybody know what his wife's name was? Jezebel. Yeah, come on, man. I got a friend told me that his wife was calling his car Jezebel. Anyway, whatever. But anyway, he goes home, and his wife looks at him. She goes, aren't you the king? You're the king. What are you doing in here? Wah, wah, wah around. Amen? So he goes, hey. She goes, don't worry. Don't worry, Ahab. I'll get you that vineyard. So what she does is she sends letters to some men of the town and says, hey, proclaim a fast. And when everybody shows up to the fast, send Naboth to the front. Just have him sit there. And let me just tell you, those are the prominent seats. Amen? You guys don't know, these are the prominent seats right here, man. Come on, yeah. This was a prominent seat. That was the one. He said, put him up front. But she said, put some men of Belial next to him. How many of you know? Does anybody know what men of Belial are? They are scoundrels. Is that okay? So she says, put these guys next to him and have them say that he cursed the king. So they did. They proclaimed a fast, put Naboth up front, got these two guys next to him. And all these guys stand up. Hey, this guy just cursed the king and the God. So he goes, what? They take him out and they stone him to death. Isn't that crazy? Jezebel gets a letter. They send a letter to Jezebel. Say, hey, what you asked for is done. So she goes and tells Ahab, hey, crybaby. Hey, come here. I got you the vineyard. Go up and go possess it. How many of you know it's always like God to send his prophet in and mess things up for you? Amen? Come on. So the prophet goes over, hey, dude, you're in trouble now. God saw what you did. God saw what your wife did. God is going to get a hold of your family. Dogs will eat those that are in the city. When they pass away, dogs will eat them. If they're in the field, the fowls of the air are going to eat them. This is what God is saying to you, brother. Got you a nice little vineyard. Yeah, bro. Hey, man. Ahab did repent. The Bible says he did repent. God sent that prophet back and talked to him, told him, hey, I see that you repented. It won't happen to you, but it's going to happen to your children. It's crazy, huh? Man, I'll tell you what. So Ahab was from a family that was or Jehoram was from a family that was kind of shady characters. Is that all right? A mafia of their day, if you call it. They were. They weren't very good. So Jehoram is the king that we're talking about here. And verse 4 says, Misha, king of Moab, was a sheep master and rendered to king of Israel, which is Jehoram, 100,000 lambs, 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me and against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people are as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. I like King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a king of Judah. And here, but they know these two are Israel. They know it. So Jehoram says, hey, I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm going to call on King Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat says, yeah, I'll go. Our men are your men. My horses are your horses. I'll go with you. I'll fight this battle against this king of Moab. Verse 8 says, and he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way of the wilderness of Edom. Let me just give you a little picture of where they're at. There's a strip of a sea that's over there. They call it the Dead Sea. At their time, they called it the Salt Sea. It's about 50 miles long and about 3 to 6 miles, depending on where, wide. They call it the Dead Sea. Israel is up here. Judah's a little lower next to this sea. On the other side is Ammon of this, on the other side of this ocean, of this little sea. And then just a little higher than that is Moab. So when they ask, how should we go up? The king of Israel tells them, I want you to go up through Ammon. Okay? So just to give you that little picture of where they're at. Verse 8 says, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way of the wilderness of Edom. Edom is part of Ammon. Okay, so they're going up through they've gone south of this sea, and then they're heading upward. Okay? And while they're down there, they pick up this extra king of Edom. Verse 9 says, so the king of Israel went, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a company of 7 days' journey. And there was no water for their host. No water. And for the cattle that followed them. Verse 10 says, and the king of Israel said, this is Jehoram. He said, alas, that the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them in the hand of Moab. Do you see that? He was already speaking their defeat. How many know that? This is the king. This is Ahab's son. Ahab didn't really know how to seek after God. So how many of you know that he passed that same ability onto his son, not knowing how to go after God? So when Jehoram saw that he was in trouble, the first thing that comes out of his mouth, hey, man, we're out here. God's going to deliver us into the hand of Moab. We're going to lose this battle because they need a water. I need some water. Anybody need water? Now's the time to drink if you've got a water. I want to watch. Yeah, nobody's going to do it. Okay. Ah, that's good. So, there was no water for the host, nor for the cattle that followed them. The king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat, how many know Jehoshaphat knows how to find God? Is that right? Jehoshaphat's a different kind of king. And he said, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. This is the king of Israel. This is Jehoram's servant talking to him, saying, hey, Elisha is down here. This guy poured water on that. See, there is an element of recognition of who Elisha was, even in the servant. And Jehoshaphat is, all I'm asking for, is there a man of God that we can ask? That's cool, huh? How many know it's important to ask God about things? Is that right? These guys are dying of thirst. They need water. They need water for their, not only for their men, but also for the animals and everything else that's around. They say, man, we need water. We didn't plan it good enough to have enough water. Is that all right, Dan? Poor planning. Oh, man. Oh, I love it. Verse 12 says, so Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom and the king of Edom went down to him, showing up at Elisha's house. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you? I love it. Do you like that? I like that. Here is a man of God of no really, he's got no armies. He's got no, I mean, who knows what he had? He didn't have much. And he tells this king, what am I doing with you? Why are you coming to me? What are you doing here? What have I to do with you? Get thee to the prophets of your fathers and the prophets of your mother. And the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. I love it. Hey, what are you doing here? Get to your mom's prophets. You guys know that his mom's prophets were Baal. It was upon that Mount Carmel where Elijah had, they had built a fire and poured water all over it and said, hey, you call on your God and I'll call on my God. And we'll see the God that answers by fire, he'll be the one that wins. Is that okay? And they said, yeah. So those were Jezebel's prophets. They're the ones that he's talking about. He says, hey, call your mom's prophets, bro. What are you doing here? I love it. I love the way he's treating them. You know what? Talk about a boldness in a man of God. Yeah. Is that right? Talk about boldness. This king's got the power to pull his head from off between his shoulders at any minute. And he says, what are you doing here, man? I like what he says in the next verse. This is Elisha speaking. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not even look towards you, nor see you. Pretty bold guy, isn't he? And he said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I'd walk right by you. Wouldn't even care to say anything to you. I wouldn't even look at you. That's quite an attitude, isn't it? That's something. Anybody ever done that to anybody? Oh, there's Howard. Hi, how are you? You doing good? Oh, there's Howard. Anybody ever done? I mean, you know what? He's pretty bold in what he's telling this king. But he honors and he recognizes Jehoshaphat as the king of Judah. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even talk to you. So the very next verse, he says this. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we get into some places, and I think Elisha might have gotten to that place where there was an anger that was kind of trying to rise up in him about this king. So what his reaction is not just to say, Lord, what do you want me to say to these kings? His reaction was more like, you know what? Bring me a minstrel because I need to worship. I need to get in a place where I can hear God. Because right now I'm just not hearing God. This guy's face is bugging me. Right? You know what? I mean, everybody's been like that. You know what? This guy's just, I mean, and so you don't want to make the decisions. You don't want to say anything in those times. What you want to do is say, God, I need to worship you just a little bit. So I believe Elisha just began to worship God. A minstrel came. I think he was playing a guitar. A Yamaha 90. I just kind of feel weird about him playing a harp or whatever. But anyway, he's playing this music, begins to worship, and Elisha's, yeah, okay, I got it, Lord. I got it. I got you, Lord. Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and this is what he said. Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Everybody say ditches. No, I mean everybody. Say ditches. Ditches. Thank you. Hallelujah. What is wrong with everybody? No. Say ditches. Everybody, ditches one more time. Thank you. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind. Now listen to what he's saying. You will not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both you and your cattle and your beasts. You're not going to see wind. You're not going to see rain. Yet this valley is going to be full of water. Cool, huh? An unusual kind of watering event is about to happen. Is that right? How many of you know this city needs an unusual watering event? How many of you know that? How many of you know that I need an unusual watering event? Hallelujah. An event that's going to be different. No, I mean, I need an unusual watering event in my life, God. Hallelujah. Get yourself ready for and prepare for an unusual watering event. Yeah. Come on. Hallelujah. You shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, but this valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both you, your cattle, and your beasts. Lord, we need it now, though, Lord. Lord, but we need it now. We can't wait. Our guys are dying of thirst up there. And verse 18 says, and this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. See, God can do this easily. Just water you guys, piece of cake. Is that true? Remember? Out of a rock poured. Out of a rock again poured. The response of the earth, of the creation. The response of the creation to the word of the Lord. Powerful. This how this valley is going to be full of water. It says, but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. And he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. You shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all the wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. I want to remind you again, this is a salt sea area. That's not a very good place for water. This water came from Edom, which, like I said, Edom was below where they were at. It came up to them. This was an unusual watering event. Hallelujah. But it didn't just come at any time. It says in the morning, there was a command in Leviticus that said, you will take a lamb and you will sacrifice it in the morning, and take another lamb at evening and sacrifice it every day for the rest of your lives. Signifying the Lamb of God. Is that right? Talking about Jesus and who he was. Huh. But it says it was after the offering of the morning sacrifice that all of a sudden this water moved into that valley, filled all the ditches. They had been digging ditches. Can you imagine them coming back from the prophet's house? Prophet says we got to dig ditches. I do what? We're dying of thirst out here. You want us to work? Are you kidding me? Dig ditches. We need ditches. So they dug ditches and they dug ditches. And the next morning, after that sacrifice, the earth recognized what the word of God was saying, and water flowed into that area and filled all those ponds. All those ditches were filled. Everybody say ditches. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Verse 21 says, when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood on the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, this is blood, and the kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoils. Praise God. They're happy about going to go pick up spoils. It's amazing what light will do to water. It really is. God is light and God is water. Hallelujah. Put the two together. These folks saw blood. Hallelujah. I just like to connect the blood of Jesus into the story. Because it was the blood of Jesus that was covering those guys that was up there. It was who Jesus was. It was after the sacrifice. They saw it as needed water, but the enemy saw it as blood. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying to you, man. But I want to tell you something. God has a way of taking care of things that are going on in your life. And what you might think is one thing, God is doing something different. So don't discount what God is doing for you. Never discount that God is on your side. God is for you. He's not against you. He is for you. He will promote you if you will just listen to Him. If you'll take in account what God has said to you and hold on to it and don't ever let go, and you'll find that when light meets water, hallelujah. Said, this is blood, and surely the kings are slain. Up to the spoil, he said. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites arose up, smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites in their country. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone, and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water, and felled all the good trees, only in Kirjath Sheth left they the stones, howbeit the slingers went about and smote it. And they won that battle. Amen. Praise God. Everybody say praise God. Praise God. God does things in unusual ways. Is that right? And I just want to just remind you that this morning that it is a waters of recognition. And notice how the waters recognized what was happening. The earth recognized what had happened early that morning when the sacrifice was done. And those waters began to flow in. Hallelujah. And it's amazing to me. Listen to it. Listen. It's amazing how the earth will respond and recognize what God is doing. And isn't it funny how God's own people or people of the earth cannot even recognize what God is trying to do? Is that something? Don't get mad at me. Do not get mad at me. Listen, God is doing things in our midst. God is doing things for you. And sometimes, man, say, Lord, let me recognize what you're doing. Let me recognize. I desire to know, God, what it is that you're saying. What it is you're doing? Help me to recognize. I don't want to be around. Remember when they told him, Jesus, tell those people to shut up because they're praising him. And he said, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Because, folks, it is the creation that declares the glory of God. And guess what? We are his creation. And we should be saying, hey, man, any place, it ought to be coming out of our mouths, the glory of God. Amen. Recognizing what God is saying, what he's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Waters of recognition. There was a woman at a well. Remember that? There was a woman at a well. And he said, look, give me the drink. And she says, the well is deep and you have nothing to drink with. And he tells her this, if you knew who it was that spoke to you and asked you for drink, you would have asked him for living water. See, the world just did not recognize. Nobody was recognizing him when he was on the world. Let's put up John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Can I just say this to you? I would like to change that word. I would like to change that his people didn't know him. People did not know him. I can tell you that the earth recognized who he was. When he was walking on the earth, everything about it, where is that? There was a recognition. This is the Son of God. Does it not even say that even the demons and the devils, whenever he'd speak to them, I know who you are. See, they recognized him, didn't they? I know who you are. You're the Son of God. Shut up. Get out. Boom. Done. Done deal. They recognized him. But it was funny. His own people did not recognize who he was in the midst of them. I want to give you this word, if you would. It's The word recognize, it's ginosko. Ginosko. What's that kin? I don't know what the K-N-E-W, but that's... Did I write that down on you guys? It's the Greek. It's a Greek word. Ginosko. And you know what? It reminds me. Anybody speak Spanish in the house? Come on. Yeah. What's the word for recognize in the Spanish? Conozco. So that's a kind of, that's the first thing that you go, hey, that's conozco. Hey, I know you, bro. You know, conozco. And say, this is the Greek word, ginosko, and it means to know, be aware of, and recognize. The world did not recognize Jesus. But he had disciples, and there was people around them. When he began to do what he did, they recognized it. Is that right? Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. I want to ask you this. Are you recognizing who he is in your life? Are you recognizing it? Is it something that comes up into your heart daily? Hey, man, you know what? I am a man of God. I am a woman of God. Even when you do something that you feel like it's oh, man, God would not like me doing this. You say to yourself, hey, wait a minute. I'm a man of God. What am I doing? I'm a woman of God. What am I doing? Say that to yourself. Are you recognized exactly who you are and what Jesus paid for on a cross to get you to who you are? And to not only where you are right now, but also to place more upon it so that you might know, that you might understand that you are so much more than you ever dreamed of. You're more than... Everybody say, I'm more than who I am. Let me say that. Say that. I want to hear that loud. I'm more than who I am. You really are. You just don't know it. You're just... You're not ginoscoing it. Is that right? Is that okay? I don't recognize it, but I'm going to tell you something. It's in there. It's there. It's there. He paid for it to be there. Hallelujah. Whew, come on. Are you recognizing? Are you, like the word said up there, are you aware of what he's done for you? Are you aware of it? Oh, man. You guys know that I walk, right? I walk. And let me just say this to you. I don't do it for pleasure. Although I'm really starting to like it. I didn't start out that way. It started out, the Lord said, I want you to walk around this building. Okay, do that. I can do that. 7 times around the building. Prophesied one evening out in front of the building. And before, I don't know how many times I did it, went around this building that night, but man, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, man. I was cruising. The Lord said, I want you to go to that apartment complex over there. Okay. Started walking around that. I want you to go to that one up there. I don't think I can go in there, Lord. It is a gated community. They don't let folks in there. Had a policeman sitting out front, and he told me, he says, just go ask. Now, there's an idea. Duh. All right, so I'll go over there and I find out. She says, what do you want to do? Because we don't let solicitors. I'm not soliciting anything. I just want to pray on your property. Pray for the folks. What are you going to pray for? Pray for your health. Pray for that your finances would go. Whoever's in this, that their finances would come up. And then when the health and the finances, that there would become a sense of that God is doing something for them. That's all I want to pray. Oh, come on in. Come on in. Praise God. But then it got a little rough. He goes, I want you to go and start here and go around, go up the Safeway and walk. What? Just pray. Okay. This is where I'm going. So I'm tromping, walking, talking to the Lord. Found a good time, man. You know, folks, I'm going to tell you, I am baptizing the Holy Ghost. I run out of things to pray in my own mind probably before I get to the end of the parking lot. That's about it. Okay, God, you're on. And I will pray in the Spirit the whole time. I will pray in the Holy Ghost. I will pray not with my understanding, but the understanding that he gives. And occasionally he'll give me words. He'll just show me things. Praise God. And then he said, I want you to go down. He called it a corridor. He said, the government and the education corridor on Sarita Road. I want you to go down there and pray on that. All right. So I've been doing it for a while. How many of you guys know that? I've been walking around for a while, man. And the other day before I was looking at this, before I was reading this, I said, Lord, you told me to start, but you haven't told me to stop. and he didn't say nothing. I said, Lord, is it doing any good? Is it doing any good? Can I tell you that maybe somewhere I was saying, can I stop? I was asking the Lord, can I stop? This has been great, Lord, but can I stop? Because sometimes we just don't see what we're doing. We just have no idea what's going on when we're doing things like that. Do you know that? When you're praying for somebody and you're not seeing a result, sometimes you just start thinking, is anything happening, Lord? Is there anything happening? And sometimes it takes the Lord to straighten you out. How many know I need to straighten out? I did need straightening out. Yeah. Was that my wife? Yes, you do. Hallelujah. Thanks, babe. I love you. But when I was reading this story today, this is what the Lord said to me. He says, Henry, you're digging ditches. Lord? He goes, you're digging ditches. You are preparing an abundance of rain. You're preparing for an unusual water. You are. Keep walking. When I got that, I said, Lord, I got it. You want me to walk anywhere else, Lord? I'll walk. My whole attitude changed because he said something to me that really was powerfully moving to me. He says, you are digging ditches. I'm preparing. So every parking lot, let me just say this. Is it possible if you walk your street, your neighborhood, your block, your shopping mall, your parks, your sidewalks, your roadways, your school and city government areas, could it be possible that you are creating ditches to hold waters of salvation? Could it be possible? And with what the Lord, I said, Lord, it's possible. It's going to happen. I believe that there is no motion that we do that is unprofitable to us. I just believe that. When you are a child of God, when you are walking and doing the best of your ability to be who you are in Christ, when you're doing that, it is not any wasted emotion at all. It is not in wasted motion at all. It is time well spent. Time well spent, because God sees it and he knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's happening. And I will tell you, the earth will recognize it. The earth will recognize it. Anthony, come here. Hank, come here. Brother Dennis. Come here, Brother Dennis. Now, these two guys right here, I just want to show you something. I just want to kind of present something to you. These two guys are angels. And they are, come on over here. Just step over here. You step right here. And you stand right here. And this guy, he's not an angel. No, I'm just kidding. Come on. Come on over here, Dennis. This is a man that is walking up into the gates of the kingdom. They got these huge angels standing there, looking at him, watching him walk. You just kind of, I know I didn't ask them about this. I just said, all right, come here. So you guys are willing. When you're walking up to those gates, I want you to show you something because heaven and earth recognize who you are. Do you hear me? Heaven and earth, because of Christ being in your life, recognizes who you are. And could it be that heaven and earth is saying, sorry, man, could it be that heaven and earth is saying, come on, bro. Come on, sister. Be who you are. Be who you are. But let's just say that this brother has just, he's headed into the kingdom. He's headed into the kingdom of God. He's I don't even want to say it. Anyway, he's walking up to the gates to get into the heavenly city. How does that sound? Is that okay? And as he turns and he's walking, what happens? These two angels, they bow and get down on one knee. Can you guys see that? Yeah. They get down on one knee and they put their heads down. Now, let me just say this to you. It seems kind of awkward and unusual because a lot of times most of us will say, No, is that right? Tell him, no, get up. I'm just Dennis. And then one of these angels will look up, and you know what they're going to say to him? Oh, don't be fooled. We're not bowing to you. We are bowing to him that dwells in you. Amen. It is him that dwells in you. Thank you, guys. Do you know that, do you recognize who you are? Do you really, really do? Because, I mean, it will change your life. You are designed to hear God on a constant basis. You are designed to see the things of God. You are designed to enter into the imagination of God and find out what he has for you. That's how you're designed. He paid for it. He paid for it. He paid for it. So I want to encourage you today. Dig some ditches in your life. Say, Lord, I've got a nephew that doesn't know you, but I'm going to dig a little ditch right here, and I'm going to watch you bring him. I had a thing right at the last minute. You know, I'm going to go to the Ace Hardware and buy as many little garden shovels as I can and give every one of you a garden shovel. But I would tell you something. Preparation is the key, isn't it? Listen, dig, and keep on digging. Keep on believing. Keep speaking. Because the earth and heaven recognizes who you are and what's going on in your life. And I will tell you, there's going to come a time early in the morning when the evening sacrifice is recognized, and these waters will begin to flow. And you'll see what it is that you've been digging for. Dig for your city. Dig for your state. Dig for your country. Dig for those in the world that don't know him. Just dig and allow the waters to come. Amen. Father, I thank you for your people this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you have called us to a work. And Lord, we desire to do that which you have for us to do. So Lord, I'm just asking you that you would touch your people. You would flood their spirits with water from on high. That you, Father, would place within them such a desire that you to see what you will do here on earth, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you would, there might be somebody in the house that has never recognized that Jesus came and died for your sins. If you've never recognized that, or if you just kind of pushed it off and said, you know what, I don't know about that or whatever, I'm going to say to you this morning, he came and he died for your sins. He loves you. And he wants you to give your heart to him so that he can show you just how much he loves you. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And church, would you just pray along in case they're a little bit just shy to say this prayer, but say with me, dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he washed them away. Thank you for that, Father. I believe that he was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I believe it, Father. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me new. I release my old. And I receive you as new. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.